Hi,
I'm Mia. I'm a transracial adoptee. My adoptive parents are white. Before I start, I just want to say that I love them, but transracial adoption is hard. So a little over a year ago, my parents bought me a house and I rent from them, and I'm extremely grateful. I believe they looked up the neighborhood to see if it was a safe place. What I don't think they considered is if it was a safe place for a black person. One, I'm surrounded by Trump flags. Two, I have a neighbor who, right by their Trump flag, proudly flies a Confederate flag. And I get it. As white people, you don't have to be concerned about that stuff. Those kinds of people don't threaten your safety. But by being around those people, me and my daughter's lives are at risk. So what do I do? How do I tell my parents that I don't feel safe here? I can't just ask them to buy me a new house, but I don't feel safe. If you adopt transracially, you have to think about this.
Yeah, if you're a nice white person and you want to help a black child who doesn't have parents and you want to adopt them, there's some stipulations that the adoptee is going to put on you, including the fact that the house that you buy them, well, it's got to be in the neighborhood that they want. It's also kind of weird, too, that as a black woman, you're not just grateful, like, hey, thank you to the white people that adopted me, I'm assuming, or even Hispanic, I don't know, who took me out of this community that is often broken and has no fathers in the home and has a disproportionate amount of people like me who were abandoned. And then on top of that, if you're afraid about being killed, imagine if you lived in a black neighborhood. I don't want you to really look at those crime statistics. And if you found that out, you would realize that you're more likely to be killed by another black person than by a white person. In fact, you should thank your parents for putting you into a white neighborhood, which are statistically a lot safer, unless we're talking about Appalachia, which then, I mean, you have other problems on your hand, including incest and stuff like that. But for the most part, man, I mean, does anything get more narcissistic and in self bloating than someone like this? And like... Like, also, she's complaining about Trump flags and Confederate flags. I mean, this is the kind of bull you expect from somebody who lives in 2021, and especially somebody who's unable to just come to a conclusion that, thank you, someone, for saving me from an orphanage. I mean, this is the kind of bull you expect.
True.
I agree. I don't know why she can't give up her house to a black person who might feel comfortable there. That way, she's helping out a fellow black person.
Yeah, she requires like this sort of self-perceived victim narrative of like, I'm being victimized because they have Trump flags and Confederate flags, even though, like you mentioned, statistically, those people pose virtually no threat to her. She should try moving into a neighborhood in the south side of Chicago, or maybe Pontiac or Flint, one of these dangerous cities that, you know, the people are maybe a little bit more like her in those cities, and she should see how that fares for her.
My first apartment in Williamsburg was on the ground floor, because that's Craigslist, and I had a peeping Tom, or maybe a peeping Tomas, I'd like to say, because I think he was a Latinx.
A Latinx.
And I just saw his head like right in my window. I had my shirt off, but my bra on. I was PG-13, but it took me aback. I had wished I had a house in an uncomfortable neighborhood, so that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, on a real note, I don't live in a bad neighborhood, actually, and we woke up to realize that what is that called? Like a covered car park, a parking structure that has security gate. Mm-hmm. Somebody broke in and broke the windows of a bunch of cars. Also ruined my car, which is a great car. And I'm pretty happy they didn't break the windows of my car. But it turns out that even in this diverse world, that diversity probably is not our strength, considering the people who committed these crimes.
What about him, Elijah?
Who knows?
That's true. It literally is not a strength. It's a weakness in virtually by every metric. I mean, whether it's like cohesion, even political participation, like studies have shown that the more ethnically diverse a country gets, like the worse it gets, like by virtually every metric. And I really just have contempt for the way she's like, and I get it. As a white person, you don't have to be worried about these things. Why don't you ask me what I have to be worried about? Why don't you ask me?
Yeah. Why don't you ask me if I moved into a black neighborhood about what I'd have to be worried about? Because I'm sure if we compared each other and if I was adopted by black parents, and they probably would also buy me a house in the same neighborhood that your supposed white parents bought you a house, because if they were trying to adopt and had higher income, they'd probably live in a nicer neighborhood anyways. Yeah. But if they had moved me into a black neighborhood, I probably would be a target. In fact, I don't go to black neighborhoods in a lot of different cities, because when I do go there for work, I end up in a lot of danger and trouble, because statistically speaking, those aren't places you want to live, which is why even black race grifters, when they use BLM and stuff and they use the donations to get out of black neighborhoods, and then they buy homes
in virtually all white neighborhoods. And you even mentioned like in Appalachia, even in the most dangerous parts of the country that are like predominantly white, they're still far, far less dangerous than the areas that are like predominantly black that are considered dangerous. Like,
yeah, and it's not racist. It's
imagine
just crime
that phone,
stats.
Yeah, imagine that phone call. Like, you're transracially adopted and you call your black parents. Hey, I know you bought me a house in a black neighborhood. I don't feel safe. Why are they flying Black Panther flags? No, they just like beat the shit out of me, and I don't really feel safe because of that.
Yeah, I know. They killed the owner of the liquor store because he didn't have the right Crown Royal bottle available or whatever. That's the kind of stuff that happens. I know, I'm from LA. This stuff happens all the time. Honestly speaking, anyways, on that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV.
We are slightly offensive so far.
It's okay. That's what this show's for. My name is Elijah Schaefer. I'm your top 17 host, and I am joined by, as you already met, John Doyle from the YouTube channel creatively named John Doyle.
So true.
As well as Chrissy Mayer, the amazing comedian who has a couple shows coming up this weekend as well, Friday and Saturday, technically tonight and tomorrow.
Tonight and tomorrow, come out to Hyenas in Dallas. It's an awesome club. I'll be doing stand-up comedy. It's going to be great. Come out and lol with me.
Amazing. I'm also joined by Savannah Hernandez, the resident producer and host of Rapid Fire Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to all of our pages as well as this channel right now by hitting that red button below. We're going to talk about a lot of things that don't make sense. And it's going to be a very offensive episode because I'm over it today. I'm over it. But of course, before we go any further, I got to let you know, if you're feeling nauseous on your commute right now, or if you're at home and you're finding a way that you're on a train, subway, or bumper to bumper, you might be sick in your stomach, and a lot of you don't know why. And we've all experienced that horrible feeling, whether it's in the backseat of a car staring at your phone, maybe after one too many drinks on a night out, maybe after spending too much time watching this show and seeing the TikToks and the things that we play for you. But, you know, nausea really can ruin your day, and it can make you unable to function. That's why you got to check out Relief Band. Now, Relief Band is the number one FDA cleared anti-nausea wristband that has been clinically proven. This is really cool. Quickly relieves and effectively prevents nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, chemotherapy, and so much more. It's 100% drug-free and provides all natural relief with zero side effects for as long as needed. It does this by stimulating a nerve in the wrist that travels to the part of the brain that controls nausea and blocks that signal, sending to your stomach right now. Anyways, if you want to right now check this out, I really do encourage you. Go to reliefband.com. That's reliefband.com and use promo code offensive and you'll receive 20% off plus free shipping and a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So if you want to try this out and you don't know if it'll work for you or not, well, you can literally try it out and see if it works for you or not. And I would love to hear your stories. Go to reliefband.com promo code offensive for 20% off plus free shipping. That's again, reliefband.com promo code offensive or 20% off plus free shipping. Go to my screen here, Savannah. Happy Latinx Heritage Month, everybody. Public broadcasting company that creates Sesame Street, or at least license it, has let us know that it's time to support the Latinx Heritage Month. It's here. It is here. We're queer, and we look forward to celebrating all month long. Together, let's take time to recognize and appreciate the Latinx culture and community that makes our neighborhood so great. Happy Latinx Heritage Month. So in the most patronizing things that don't make sense racially, let's talk about actual true white ignorance for a second here, which is these strange globalist Caucasian people that have engineered a society that is so detached from reality, right? Where you've confused people who should be grateful they got a house bought for them in a nice neighborhood with low crime, and they're scared because they think the flag's going to, you know, rape them or something. I don't know what she was thinking about that. There had to be a big flag to do something. That was a big girl.
Right. Logistically, it doesn't really add up.
That was big. I'm actually not speaking poorly of it, but those were some big bazoongas.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know,
they were very prominent. I mean, like, it wasn't, I'm not saying that, just like the angle was here, you know.
She needs a lot of sports bras. That's a lot of boob.
That's a lot of boobie.
That's a lot.
Good for her. I mean, good for her. That's good for her.
You know that if the frame were a little bit wider of a shot, she's probably obese.
No, but she's got a pretty face. Like, she's a pretty, like, she has not a nice face. She's there. And I know that girls do this often where they make videos and they make the angle. Like, she could have just done this and, like, spoke. But yeah, they always do the angle. This is why I bring it up. People go, why do you talk about, like, the girl showing their boobs? Because you notice that they always angle it so their full breasts are in the display. Like, I really got to talk to you about COVID vaccines. And it's like, wow, well, those are nice breasts that you've got there. That's weird. Did you really have to show them off while you talk about vaccines?
Well, they're unearned. It's not that she has good genes, it's that she maintains a very significant caloric surplus. So it's like
I want to talk to you guys about my shows this weekend.
Yeah, it's like she's not like she's just fat. It's like if you have abs, if you're skinny, it's like cool. It's not really the same, you know.
Yeah, no, I do know this, but I'm saying this. Okay, so it's let's talk about this Latinx things, right?
No, I want to keep debating if she's attractive or not. That's what I want
to
do.
I was trying to be nice in saying that people say I'm too brutal to people on the show on looks. I'm not personally very like, I've never dated a black woman. I've never been out with a black chick. I kissed a black girl once at a club. I did. I was a little bit buzzed, but I did kiss a black chick, but I never went out with any. It's never been like my preference. People have racial preferences, and we're going to talk more about this Latinx thing, but this is a good time to bring this up. So speaking of absolute ridiculousness, I mean, this is the utter state of what people have confused black people about. This black woman, I want you to track with this video here. This is so confusing. I would like to try to pre-explain it to you. It's about interracial dating. We talked about transracial adoption, but this is about interracial dating and safety. And I can't pre-explain it because the more I listen to it, the more confused I get and don't understand it. Let's go ahead and let's play the video.
If you're a non-white person and you've dated a white person, stitch this and tell me the wildest thing they've ever said to you. I'll go first. I'm already going to break the rules because it's not necessarily something he said per se. It was a number of things, but it was more how I felt. He was the sweetest, nicest guy ever, okay? But like, just typical cishet, able-bodied white man. Like, just so ignorant to the world outside of that perspective. The point where I was like, okay, if we're gonna get more serious, I'm gonna have to make sure you're cultured. So I sat him down and we watched an episode of The Boondocks. And needless to say, he was a little traumatized. Anyways, a couple months went by and I was like, all right, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I could date a white man. I can't. And it was time to break up with him. Again, he was so nice. He was so freaking nice. But like, I was terrified of going over to break up with him. To the point where I sent a bunch of my friends my location and I was like, if I don't text you in an hour, come and get me. Something's wrong. I genuinely thought he was gonna like lock me up in his basement. Granted, I had just recently watched the movie Get Out, but like, white male rage is no joke. I was terrified.
This is triggering my white male
rage.
Oh
my God. I was terrified because culture told me to be terrified.
Yeah. To the boys out there, if you are, first of all, if you are ever dating a girl, seeing a girl, and she speaks to you that way, leave, walk away. Women have been acting with total impunity in this country for too long. They shouldn't be talking to men that way, frankly. They are far too comfortable. We need people like Sean Connery back.
I just had this conversation. This is interesting. Women do like to be not like put in their place, and they do like to be, to not be like treated poorly, but they kind of do. But the point is that actually, like, in a nice way, I was talking to my friend the other night or last night, and I was telling him, like, make sure that your wife knows that she's not in control of your marriage. You have to make sure that she knows, like, who controls the household, because women have been given too much power as a joke. I saw a meme that said, literally, it said, it was like, it goes on to say, it made me laugh so hard. It was like, it is time that we take control back from the women.
Yeah, if you ever let a woman have power over you in a relationship, she will resent you. She will hate you.
If you don't lead a woman, she'll resent you. It's like, it's true. It's like you go there. It's like, if you don't eat her out or things like that too, she'll resent you. She'll find sex other places. Yeah. Like, you have to be aggressive. You have to take her on emotionally, physically, spiritually, and sexually. And you've got
financially helps too.
Yeah. Well, the financial was already presupposed if you married. Yeah. I mean, if you're getting married. Yeah, I'm assuming
a woman ever says anything to you to the effect of, you need to be cultured, just leave, run away, block her, never talk to her again.
What do you think about this woman?
Yeah, I can speak on this because I was a women's studies minor. So that's four classes.
Wow.
Right there. Yeah. I'm very studied. Yeah,
you
this
paid
is
to learn the bull. That's amazing.
I don't know if I'm the weird one here. I would never speak to anybody like that, let alone a dude, let alone somebody I was like interested in or good at date. But I don't know, it's because my dad hit me when I was growing up. So I have a lot of respect and fear towards men. That came out of nowhere. I turned out all right, I think.
Yeah, but you know, there's going to be some girls in the chat that are like, I'd like to hear Savannah's opinion on this.
Yeah, no, honestly, if a man let me speak to him that way, because you know I do have a very bad attitude, I wouldn't respect him at all. I would respect a man who was like, no, you're not going to speak to me this way, and would put me in my place. And that's basically how I delegate if a man is a real man or not.
Yeah, if we didn't have HR policy, Savannah, believe me.
Believe me, Elijah. Women
spicy in here.
Women now know that they can do that because the entire society has basically become inverted in this, like, what's the word that they use? Like, gynocracy or something? Like,
that's pretty good.
I think, no, that's literally what it is because men have elevated women on this pedestal and they are so starved for, like, female attention because that's how they derive their validation that they would literally be willing, like, even close friends of mine I know would be willing to, like, date girls like that because it's like, well, you know, she's pretty and she's sweet and everything. I don't care if she wants to culture me and make me watch The Boondocks. You know, I dated a black girl actually, which is part of my expertise. To be fair, nice. she was culturally whiter than I. Like, her parents were both doctors. She lived in a nicer part. Yeah,
you dress like a black person sometimes. Thank like you. A black young black youth.
But I remember one time I was over at her house and we were watching a show called Blackish.
Oh, yeah, I know the show.
And we were just watching, and there was an episode, and I think the daughter or the son brought home a white girl, and the mom was not having it. And she made a comment before like the intro played, and because the dad was like, you just don't like her because she's white. And then the mom was like, yeah, and or something. I was just kind of like, you know, if that were reversed, like there would be riots, right? And she was like, oh, you don't get it. You're being sensitive, white fragility. And that was kind of when I realized like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, hatred for whites is accepted. Hatred for men, cis men is so accepted. It's really disgusting.
True.
But you know what I love too? That's what I do love with that video, Savannah, because this is kind of a funny thing. Because, you know, we live sort of in this interesting world where I think they like to say people of color, but the problems with mixed race people that aren't black, like we live in actually a black and white world. They always say people of color, but really whenever they're talking about racial things, they're just talking about white and black people. Savannah always brings this up, that they see the world really like this. And it's so funny how like a black girl can make a video and it's like, if you didn't, you're not even talking about, I didn't like this guy. You've had one experience with one guy and you've said, yeah, I don't know if I can date white people in general. And your justification for that was because you felt unsafe because you watched a movie made by black people about black people. And so you believed the fictitious reality that culturally was pushed on you, and that fake reality that you watched in a movie dictated your real world experience. And that's what made you not trust white people, which can pretty much explain all of the problems today right now about between white and black people.
And that's how you know it is such a cope, because if you look at the rates of interracial violence, like violent crime, it is so drastically more like black on white than white on black. It's not even remotely close. And so for them to feel victimized by white people, they have to manufacture these ideas of systemic oppression. They have to make movies about it, right? They have to make movies about white families victimizing, like Jordan Peele, that's the guy's name.
Yeah.
His job is to make bloodlust films against white people to get black people and people of color, which just means not white people, excited about this idea of like, oh, white people are evil. Maybe we should fight back or something like that. It is so dangerous if this is allowed to propagate, what the implications of that could be.
Sav likes white boys.
True.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, actually, I've only ever dated white boys.
Ooh, the truth comes out. I didn't even know your dating history.
I know. I've only ever dated white boys. And that's not because of a culture thing. Maybe it is. I have no idea.
No, but this is actually interesting.
You know, across, like, if you look at the data from, like, OkCupid and Match and all those websites, of all races, like, the women prefer white men and then the men prefer white women.
I've dated a handful of Hispanic chicks, and I think Hispanic girls are very beautiful.
They're spicy.
In fact, I would say this. It's really sad, the fact that I spent a lot of time, blood, and tears in making the show. And about 90% of the people who like the show now just talk about enjoying watching Savannah.
Where'd the blood come from? When did you? Oh, yeah, because you got the shit beaten out of you.
No, I've had a few things. I've had a few serious injuries in this job. I've been actually jumped like four times doing this. Like, I think the third or fourth video I made, they cracked open my head with a drumstick at a rally, because diversity is our strength. And actually, one of the lesbians who was following me, I didn't realize till after, because I got in trouble for promoting pornography on YouTube, that her shirt, this is how vile these people were. She had the butch haircut, and then her shirt is a screen printed image. This is graphic for the children and for grandma. I'm sorry, but this is true. Her shirt is I'm presumptuously a gay man's bare hairless butt spread open with a gaping butthole, the diameter of like 6 centimeters, with ejaculate dripping out in high definition. And I she's following me the whole time and harassing me. And I didn't know. And I put the video up because I was like, oh, the point of this video is that like they attacked me. And like, that was the point of the video. And then YouTube was like, oh, they attacked you. That sucks. But there's a gaping butthole with ejaculate coming out of it. And that's why we're going to get you in trouble. You're going to get you in trouble for putting that on our website and not realizing the implications of these people are beating you up. That's really where I got really black pilled that day.
But that shirt in itself is such a red pill, because like, that's what it is. The ultimate inversion of our reality is the equation of not only males and females, like feminism, but also like male female relationships with male male relationships.
Being from literally from LA, like just from the heartland of it all, I don't think I realized the depravity that I lived in until I moved to Texas, and gaping buttholes with ejaculate t-shirts aren't really popular in DFW. I didn't know if you knew that, but it's not a huge trend here in the greater Fort Worth area.
Because we're still like a relatively moral area. And by the way, for all the people who are watching the way the left has evolved, or devolved, I should say. And they're like, wait a minute, but you guys used to be about free speech and now you're the ones trying to shut things down. They were never about free speech. They were never about free speech. What you're referring to is a period in the 60s where there was a social revolution and there were just certain things that were not discussed in polite society. You didn't talk about sex. You didn't talk about degenerate behavior. It just wasn't discussed. Buttholes. And so they knew that they could appeal to the good nature of the American spirit by saying, well, hey, now come on. Aren't we supposed to be about free speech and freedom? So the Americans kind of thought, okay, I guess. So they gave him a seat at the table, and now look where we are. Now that has usurped our society to where Elijah Schaefer can see a photo of a man's literal butt and just be like, oh, it's just another t-shirt. That's what happens.
It's a Tuesday.
That's what happens when you allow evil a seat at the table. You actually have a moral and knightly duty to exclude these people. Do you really think that if the woman wearing that, it was a woman? Wearing that
a
shirt.
A lesbian, yeah. It was 100% a lesbian.
A woman, footnote, lesbian. We're wearing that shirt. Do you think that if that person all of a sudden like agrees with you on lower taxes and maybe gun policy, do you think that's like really an American? Do you think that person should really be tolerated in society? I don't want people like that to feel comfortable in the society. Not necessarily because she's lesbian, but because she's wearing shirts like that. I don't want to break bread with communists.
But you see, this is where I think you're a little bit different. Like you're more of like a free spirited kind of person. And like you have, porn stars on your show and these kinds of things. I mean, I'm interested to see what you think about what John's saying.
I, like you, Elijah, grew up in New York, like not NYC, but Long Island, which is pretty trashy. Right. You get used to just kind of like this, the classic liberalism. But at some point during our like early adulthood, it was taken over by this Marxist agenda. And it was just sort of acceptance has now become like the Trojan horse for what is going to be communism, socialism. It's not what they're saying it's about. It's just they use these blanket terms, these umbrella terms like acceptance or right with the environment, right? It's sustainability. It's like it's never what they say it is.
Yeah, but you know what I think though, John, and this is where I think we disagree a little bit, even though I know you'll get more points with the base Doyle Army or whatever it's called. But I think what's interesting is that there is this group of people that we like Eva Lovia is like a good example, or like Bridget Fennessy.
Brandy Love.
Like, yeah. These are good example of people who kind of grew up in this liberal democracy, this sort of America as an idea. They don't know any better. We grew up in this world where they grew up, they're in a big city. And again, yeah, like they're like myself, they're accustomed to these things. You never really like question it as much as you should because you live in such a big area and it's so widespread and rampant. But then as you've mentioned, is that over the years, things have become very much not like, oh, yeah, like people are just weird in Portland. It's more like these people are going to kill you. And so they go from just weird people to like violent political movements. And so then you start going, hold up. Okay, I've become accustomed and I'm genuinely used to and acclimated to this. But where this is going, I'm going to have to just draw the line here and say, I don't want any more part of this. And I've got to pull out. But you still have this experience of like this genuine part of your life where you feel acclimated and you're used to this. This is a really serious thing for a lot of people. So it's not like you're not like freaked out by all these people, but you also realize that they've transformed, you didn't. And so there's this whole group of people that are like in the middle, and the right wing tells them like, oh, you guys aren't based enough. You're not legit, or kind of what you're saying. Maybe like you don't really an American. You don't really belong here. Maybe I'm getting you wrong. And then the left is kind of like, oh, you guys aren't with us. You're fighting the New World Order. You're resistant. You're conspiracy theorists. And there's this giant group of people who feel politically homeless and they don't know what to do. And like we saw with the recall election in California, I want to play this. This is a good example of one of those people who gets a lot of from both ends of the aisle. Dave Rubin is kind of like left like, hey, I still want to see California succeed. My vote still matters, but it's like, I don't really have a home. And like, let's look at this, this awesome clip from him on video too. Let's play that.
I cannot believe we have to do a show today, guys. This is seriously a freaking nightmare. Like, this is an absolute nightmare. Cali's freaking destroyed. Oh, it's just.
What is that, tequila?
Well, I really
we'll
like Dave.
We got a job to do,
I
right?
Like,
no matter
great.
What, we
this
got
is,
a job to do.
I like watching someone unravel.
This is the good stuff, by the way, Don Julio.
Apparently, this was an accident. He didn't know he was live. I think it's a bit. But
I cannot believe I have to tell people that there's hope. You know?
Yeah, this is a bit.
It's just going to be a terrible day. We're live. What? We're live. We're live. Hey, hi.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'm saying like Dave is like one of those people, right? He's clearly in this position where obviously you would call him a male butthole masturbator, I think. But it's like Dave, like, no, I'm not saying him. I'm saying
not pejoratively, but is that not what we're talking about?
No, but that's not what I'm bringing in. But I'm saying specifically like someone like this who's like going like he's been disaffected, right? And so he's in this group where he used to be like liberal and left, and then he's like, but you're going, well, he couldn't be a conservative, he's gay or whatever. It's like, what do we do with these people? Because it's a confusing argument.
There are so many gay people who are ostracized from their own LGBT movement, right? Like, because they're not accepting this insane trans agenda. They're not willing to refer to themselves as queer when, like, you know, a 19-year-old trans person is like, you need to call yourself queer. And she's like, I have friends like, no, I'm a 50-year-old lesbian. Like, what are you telling me what to do?
Yeah, what do we do with these people? I'm asking you seriously.
Well, to clarify my earlier monologue on the particular acts that we're discussing, that was not an indictment of these people. I really do not care. The problem is like you said, there was that woman who was marching in what I believe was a group of people who were attacking you or antagonizing you. She happened to be wearing that shirt. I thought that shirt is pretty emblematic of where we're at right now, which is true because they want to dress it up like love is love, but it's actually not. Like, what you're talking about is the complete inversion of reality, biologically, spiritually, all of that. It doesn't make sense. And we had to get a little graphic. Again, I don't mean to indict these people. I have no issue with Dave Rubin in particular. Or any of these people, but
you actually been on shows with Dave. He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy, but it's like with someone like Dave Rubin, who'd been a liberal for his entire life, been voting, you know, within these coalitions. And it's like, these are the consequences of that. So he gets it now and he understands, and he's walking away and he's leading, you know, hundreds of thousands of people with him away from that. That's cool. That's great. With someone like Brandy Love, for example, who writes for The Federalist, which is a conservative publication, who's always been pretty good. She, you know, there are a lot of women who have done pornography and they come out against it, and because of the abuse, because of the all sorts of issues, whether it's STIs or substance abuse or sexual assaults, whatever, and they come out and they realize it's bad. Brandy Love defends it and endorses it, and she promotes pornography because she's still an active porn star, and it's like, how many marriages is she complicit in the destruction of, or the young men who are now addicted to pornography, things like that. And she comes to conservative events, student events. She wasn't invited. That I think was a lie, but she still showed up to this event that is being attended by teenagers for Turning Point USA. Yeah. And it's like, why are we even letting her in the venue as a movement? Why are we allowing her to be platformed on The Federalist, which has been a consistently like good right-wing publication? It's like, there's nothing conservative about that. She wrote an article and she referred to herself as the sex, drink, and rock and roll conservatives. And she was like, we're the type of conservatives who don't really like to talk too much about the Bible. We just think that Jesus said to be vaguely nice to people. We like to sit out on the back porch listening to rock and roll and talking and using colored language to describe Nancy Pelosi. And it's like, you are the problem. You think that you can be a screen whore and profit off the destruction of your own spirit and taking the spirits of other men with you, and you think that you can sit out on the back porch and call Nancy Pelosi a you're gonna like take back the country? How stupid are you? How vacuous is your mind to where you think that's actually a tangible, legitimate political strategy? I don't think that people like that should be platformed. That's my problem, that she's not walking away from the issues that have led us to this point. She is continuing to double down on them.
But this is the point, but you're saying that, but then, so what do we do with her? Do you create a movement where you tell this person, hey, you are not welcome in anything we do? Because my point is that with the recall election, like, we lost badly. We lost really.
We'll never flip California.
Right, but my point is, a lot of these people live in New York and California and whatnot. They're not living in South Idaho and taking over Wyoming and these conservative cities. They're still just in the major cities. Like, what does a movement do with these kind of people who want to reject this, and they're asking to come in and they're saying, look, we align more with you than these other people.
More than welcome. If you want to support right-wing policies, you are more than welcome to vote for right-wing candidates. I would say the same thing to Brandy Love that I would say to Dave Rubin or any of these walk-away people. We are not going to compromise the integrity and legitimacy of what we believe to accommodate you. If you want to vote for us because you support free speech, or you support gun laws being relaxed or whatever, you support the family structure, that is awesome. Vote for Republicans. However, you cannot in tandem bring your baggage along and say, actually, you have to support gay marriage now because I'm gay. It's like, if that's your biggest priority, are you really a conservative if you can't vote
unpopular opinion, which is actually a fact. Nobody actually supported gay marriage in the United States. That was just a railroad from the Supreme Court.
Yeah, even California
voted against it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really tricky because I know, Doyle, you're like a Christian conservative, and like it's kind of a big ask that anyone who wants to be even a little bit conservative must also be Christian. I think you can share a lot of conservative values and like love the country and be a patriot like Brandy Love is without necessarily, you know, having Christian conservative values. She obviously like does porn. It's like insane to expect the porn industry to be shut down. It's way too profitable for way too many people. And I'm sure she, you know what I mean? Like, and you'll never know. Maybe she's helped a lot of marriages as well. Like I've spoken to people whose marriages and relationships have been strengthened by watching porn. Again, like if you're kind of, you know, addiction prone, absolutely. Like you can torpedo your life. And if it's taking time and money away, like from you meeting a nice girl, that's where I get upset too, because it's like, I always use the example of like a bartender can shut you down when you've been drinking too much, but there's a girl on OnlyFans isn't going to be like, this is your last $10. Like maybe don't spend it on like seeing my puss, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to go to John on this. We're going to keep talking about this, but I got to tell you guys something very important, because as we're talking about privacy, about the country, about things in your life, I got to let you know that I don't trust big tech. And neither should you. And I'm going to tell you about something called StartMail. Now, StartMail is an amazing email service that is not just like, oh, Gmail Plus or any of these other stupid services where they take your information and they sell it to people who hate you. We're talking about having a serious movement, and times are getting tough. And to start organizing and being serious, you're going to have discussions about things that probably aren't going to be popular on social media websites. And if you're like me, you find yourself doing your job on the wrong day, and then the tech companies give all of your information to the FBI. Anyway, maybe you're not in that specific situation, but you do realize that at any moment in your time, you don't have the resources like Hillary Clinton to destroy all of your emails if you want to talk about things secure. So if you go to startmail.com/offensive, that's startmail.com/offensive, you can get the most private email server that I know of that's encrypted end to end, meaning even if the people you're talking to aren't encrypted, your emails stay hidden. And as well, on top of that, when you delete an email, it is actually deleted, which means this is not like it goes into a draft box. This isn't like your iPhone where you take a picture of your butt or whatever, and then it goes into your deleted folder, and then you got to delete it, and then it's someone at Apple saw it because they scanned it in your phone. This actually gets deleted. And I'm saying, if you want to talk about anything important, use StartMail. Go to startmail.com/offensive right now and get 50% off your first year. Again, that's startmail.com, startmail.com/offensive today, and use the email service that I trust as well, startmail.com/offensive. John, I'm interested in this because as we talk about the idea of, I guess this is like this episode just become talking about things that are not,
well, I would start by saying that I acknowledge that a lot of what I'm saying is off-putting to the audience, but frankly, I'm unconcerned with that, because if you look at the way that this country was 70 years ago, it was a much freer society and it was a much more moral society because it was stable. You didn't need that nanny state to come in and usher instability through authoritarianism and quasi-martial law, because the people themselves were disciplined and were able to provide that for themselves and their communities. What I am saying right now would be identical and maybe even 10% less extreme than the average belief of an American man 70 years ago. What's happened is that the liberals used to be patriotic, by the way. Everyone in this country used to be patriotic.
Even Disney Channel.
Right. And that was even as recently as 15 years ago. The point being that the left in this country allowed themselves to follow the logical conclusions of liberal beliefs, which naturally devolve into leftism in a long enough timeline, inexorably. What the right in this country is now doing is saying, because the left has become so compromised because of itself, naturally and logically, as was predicted, now the right's saying, well, we have to take in the liberals and we have to accommodate them. Again, that's fine if they're authentically conservative. What I don't want to happen, and what I will make my life's work to prevent from happening, is allowing the Republican Party, well, the conservative ethos in this country, to become what the left used to be 60 years ago. And that's why, you know, you look at, well, why are conservatives, think about it. We've lost ground on virtually every issue. Name me one conservative victory in the last 70 years. It's because we keep allowing ourselves to deviate from what we should actually be advocating for. And so if we allow ourselves to become liberalized by taking in these refugees from the left, that's what's going to happen. And we're going to continue to lose, and we will have a socialist party and we will have a liberal party and eventually a one-party state. So I'm willing to take it on the chin to be accused of being, you know, out of touch or a statist or a crazy evangelical or whatever. I'm willing to do that because I know that I'm right and I study the history of this and this is what's happening. And so, yeah, we do have to kind of be a little bit off-putting and a little bit crass with the way we're talking about things if we want to actually have a country in 15 years.
That's what kind of what happened in Canada and Australia, is you do have like a socialist and liberal party. Even the conservatives are liberal. And then you have the people who are far left and the people that are leaning left specifically and kind of crossing the line. And that's what we're seeing. I don't know if you saw two nights ago, technically, you know, Alberta leans more in traditionally, in our words, conservative. And just 2 weeks ago, the governor, I forget, Canadians, do they call it? That's like MPs are in the UK. What do they call their governors? Maybe it's just governor. But I know that he was talking about on a video, like, what do you mean COVID-19 passport? What does that even mean? Well, how do you have a passport for a vaccine? Like, we're never going to do anything like that. And then in the middle of the night, the other night, they put out an emergency order and basically stripped everyone's rights in the state away permanently and created a socialist order in the middle of the night after lying through their teeth about how, like, what do you mean that? What? Like, he goes on air legitimately going, huh? Like, what do you mean there's a socialist order happening that around the country? Like, that couldn't happen here. We're conservative. And then it was like at midnight, in the middle of the night, there was a live streamer that was live streaming. I found out about it this way. And he was live streaming and his phone went off. It's like emergency alert. Like, we're now a new health order. It's permanent. And you can't move across the state unless you subject yourself to these experimental therapeutics, which, by the way, are having massive and longstanding reports of harsh side effects. I've spoken to about a dozen people in the last 24 hours who are in such bad shape from taking those things. And they've never told anyone. That's the crazy part about that. They've never told anyone. And I think that's a good example of what's happening with the whole moral framework of our country is the vaccine argument, because it's like the problems with the vaccines are apparent and they're happening to people, but people are afraid because they're afraid that they're going to be shown wrong. Like they're experiencing the negative effects of their own lack of self-control and resistance to the bull. Then they take these vaccines, they have these side effects, they feel stupid, they don't know what to say, they don't want to seem like they're anti-vaxxers, and they hide their problems. And I feel like that's the same that happens with the moral rot in the country. Everyone wants to live freely, they want to do whatever they want, they listen to the narratives of the world, but then they end up with anxiety and depression, everyone's talking about how they are unhappy, etc. And no one wants to admit that they're unhappy and depressed because they've denied the reality of the way they were designed to be, and they're living these self-addicted, narcissistic lifestyles that are contributing to their own poor health. And so sometimes it's like the vaccine. It's like, no, dude, you feel like shit because you took this dumb vaccine that you didn't need as a young, healthy person. You didn't need it. And you listen to pressure, and that pressure caused you to make life decisions that led you to now have to live with this. And I think that's what we're living in today, is that, but no one wants to admit they're wrong. Like, yeah. No one wants to admit that you can't live in a society that's this like liberal free society that means that you can just like basically do whatever the hell you want.
It is literally impossible. And the only reason that we used to be free is because we weren't free. If that makes sense. Like 70 years ago, maybe the government wouldn't show up at your house and say that you're not allowed to like divorce your wife. But if you divorced your wife 70 years ago, you'd be ostracized from the community. If you cheated on your wife, you'd be, and of course now the historiography always goes, you know, if you go to any public classroom in this country, they'll say, well, actually the 1950s weren't happy because if you look at, there was domestic abuse and alcoholism. None of that is true. It was happy. And it was because we were a Christian nation. That's the thing. The struggle
and we
against,
didn't have phones or TikTok.
True. Yeah, well, the Industrial Revolution is its own thing. But the consequences, or I'm sorry, the reason we were against communism wasn't because, and they want to frame it as an economic thing now, but that's not what it was about. It was because communism is godless. We looked at the Soviets, we did not want to be godless like them. It was never because we were like, oh no, if I can't econometrically calculate the proper distribution and allocation of fruits and vegetables, we're going to starve. It was because they were godless. It was about the spirit of the nation, not about economics. And you look at this country and we've become godless, and not coincidentally, because man is a religious animal, we are starting to worship things like media, like celebrities, and the state. This can even be proven empirically. If you look at where atheists align on the political spectrum, they are overwhelmingly authoritarian leftist. If atheism, exactly.
Yeah.
If atheism were simply a rejection of the idea of God, then you would expect that to line up pretty much equally on all sides of the political spectrum, right? But it doesn't. It is authoritarian leftism overwhelmingly because they worship the state. That's where we're headed if you don't have God. If you don't have God, you're never going to be happy. It's true. You're going to be in a state of despair.
How do we get people to, to ask people to like God? I mean, that's a big one. How do you get people even to trust in institutions anymore? How do you get people to trust in the GOP? How do you get, there's so many people I know that are just like, they're done voting. They don't trust anything.
I don't think you try to get people to trust them.
No, you don't, because politics is a spectator sport. So 95% of people, frankly, just don't have agency. I mean, they're going to sit in the bleachers and they're going to watch the two competing factions battle it out. And then when one side starts to really take power, they're going to say, ah, I knew it. Those are the guys. That's who, but really they just don't get it. So what's going to happen as this country continues to destabilize is there's going to be a faction of people, myself included, and people who think like us, and they're going to rise up and they're going to take power. And a lot of people are going to be like, wait a minute, this sounds kind of, doesn't that in, you know, so, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Watch it.
And we're going to take take the country back and we're going to do it properly. And then people are going to be like, oh, I always knew that those were the good guys because we'll control the narratives and stuff. But that's the thing. It's because this country is so demonically possessed that we're going to need to wield political power to literally cut off that influence on the population to where their spirits will be cleansed enough to where they could be susceptible to things like the truth and divinity of Jesus Christ.
Savannah?
I agree.
Oops. Yeah. What's up?
I just wanted to get you on screen. I want to make sure that you were here for this conversation.
We need to get some.
Keep going. Keep going, Chrissy. But I want to get your point out.
It is interesting. I totally agree with Doyle's point on like this sort of like you're looking for God in ways and you don't even realize it. Like it's so trendy for like teenage girls, even like women in their 20s, to be like into witchy stuff. Like there's a whole like Instagram, like maybe not so much TikTok, but like there are whole swaths of social media like dedicated to like sort of Wiccan witchy spells and stuff.
And it's fastest growing religion among youth is Wiccan.
Really?
It's
so and Satanism, stupid. Everyone's like, oh, this is fun. You know, Satan retweeted me.
Yeah, you're
like,
literally going to be burning in hellfire for eternity. It's not going to be fun, you idiot. This is why they need strong fathers. I'm so angry all of the time. It's the white male rage.
You know, I've actually been in an argument. This is not even a side thing, but I've been in a long-standing argument right now with the Church of Satan. Do you guys know about this? That the Church of Satan has a very prominent public position, and they have public profiles even, and they like to go out. Now, me and the Church of Satan actually have regular beefs online, which I think is actually a kind of a good thing to have a regular beef with the Church of Satan. Now, what happened is the literal people of the devil, okay, if you go to my screen here, Savannah, the people of the devil, like, thought they got me. Can I bring up the screenshot? Yeah. So I wrote this, and I was like, the Disclosed TV points out that new, the Evangelical Lutheran Church appoints an openly transgender person, Megan Rohrer, as bishop for the first time in U.S. history on Sunday. And so then I wrote, okay then, and I screenshotted it because they said, getting there. Right. So the Church of Satan replies, getting there. We're not fully satanic. The church hasn't become fully satanic, but we're getting there, which is kind of an interesting thing for people who argue that this isn't a satanic thing going on in the church. The Church of Satan's even like, it is satanic and we're working on it.
It was all prophesized in the Bible. People that have a problem with the Bible have never read the Bible. Even I haven't read my Bible all the way through, but I've read enough to be like, oh, that's what they said. That
you see
that?
No, look, so they thought they got me. They're like, we gotcha. The devil's always like, gotcha. Sorry, devil. You're the one that's going to be burning the lake of fire.
You're
not me.
You're so stupid.
But it's like, they're like, interesting that Elijah Schaefer would post a screenshot of our reply, cutting off most of it rather than retweet us to try and make his point. So apparently they said, at Elijah Schaefer getting there, which again, even my view of this is different than theirs. They're verified, by the way. Remember, Donald Trump was kicked off of Twitter, but the Church of Satan is allowed to have a prominent
profile.
How much
more could it be? You read a biblical story and it took place, say, now, and it was like, and then the Church of Satan was celebrating the Texas abortion laws getting struck down, hypothetically. How much more obvious could it be? It is so clear what's happening and that it is a spiritual conflict.
Yeah, it was like the guy that invited anti-Semitic tropes on himself because he had to go into protection mode. Do you know about this? So he's a prominent Jewish activist. And he was like, he wrote the dumbest tweet I think I've ever read in my life. He was like basically, checkmate, Republicans. Turns out the only ones that are finally resisting you on your Texas abortion bill are the Jews and the Church of Satan. And he was like, checkmate. And I was like, that's not going to be good for the anti-Semitic crowd who's looking for excuses to talk on Jews. You probably shouldn't have tied yourself in with the Church of Satan. That was not a good PR stunt if you're an activist for the Jewish community. I would say that probably pretty retarded.
A bad move.
Yeah, it's like, checkmate, Christian Republicans. Like, not a good one. Anyway, he had to actually deactivate his account because so many people were like, bruh. That was really retarded. But the Church of Satan was like, oh, Elijah Schaefer, I guess they added this quote underneath that was, we've had transgender members since 1966, so you are more than 50 years late with that accusation, but congrats to the Evangelical Lutherans for taking a step in the right direction. I guess it's another quote that they did. And so me cutting that off did absolutely nothing to change the connotation of what they were saying. It just basically added like a little excerpt. And of course, their whole point was all these Satanists under there are like, yeah, of course, a Christian would be, you know, cutting off context to prove their point. I was like, brother, you basically just said something and then provided more context underneath. They didn't contradict each other. No. So then I came out, and this is 2021, peak level 2021. I invited the Satanists to the studio here. I invited them. I was like, Okay, I challenge them. Like I challenge them to a public. I challenge them to a public debate, like an actual public live air debate, which I was going to have you come on and to do talk to Church of Satan people live. But I said I would love to actually invite whoever runs this account onto my show. I will fly you out to DFW. I'll pay your expenses. Ugh. Would be an interesting discussion about life and the state of the world. DM me if you're interested. And like, this is the total like coat. This is the equivalent to, I think you call them the white coats. People are like, do you have a study for
that? Lab coats. They're so stupid. They outsource their epistemology to academic studies that have been paid for by people with preconceived agendas. It is literally the abdication of all responsibility to think.
I know. Look
like
at this,
I don't know anything, but I'm going to Google and go to imright.com and find, and this is why I believe it. That's why if they have a belief like trans people are valid, how do you know? Here's a study that says trans people are valid, right? Like there's no additional commentary from them. It's not measured. It's not insightful at all. It's just literally their belief is the headline of the article.
Yeah, that actually is true. That's what they said here. Check this out. The Church of Satan replied to me. This is such a weird, this is such a weird segment. We have a press contact form in our website. Feel free to reach out via proper channels.
How salty and stupid is that? Proper
sir, you're in a public forum with a verified account. This is clearly a verifiable way to speak to you.
You know what that is? That's their satanic pride. That's what that is.
Work harder. Work harder.
That's a satanic response. That's the trap of the devil. Like, get deeper. Come more. Come to our website. It's like, look, no.
They're literally possessed by demons. And if you look at demons in the Bible, they're like, you know, they're man's body with breasts and then like a ram's head. It's like, you...
I'm just saying I'm talking to the Church of Satan representative and they're making it seem like a public invite with all expenses paid for between two public profiles is not good enough. Email us.
I think because they're being wusses and they would never, they need to think of a sassy reply. So they're going to say that rather than like, no, we're too, like, we're too pussy to come
Andy
on.
Andy came in.
Can we do a video boxing Satanists? I'll go St. Michael the Archangel.
Yeah, no, we can. Look at this. Andy No came in. He's like, why need to use the formality when you're already aware of the request here?
You're already talking.
Your organization is very small, and it is the same people who do social media on your website. And they said, I think they said that was incorrect, that it's not the same people. It's like, but your organization is small, and if you have your proper forms and you're the same people, this is another formal invite on a public show. The Church of Satan, believe me, I want to invite some other people on as well at the same time. I've invited, you know, like false teachers and preachers and people to come on the show to talk to them. People don't have a pretty good base in theology and things. I'm very tactful with how I present it to the world. People think, cause there's always these, you know, what's funny. I brought this up recently. Some of the people that I have the biggest problems with what I do in the world are people who already believe in God because you don't present it the way they want to. And I'm like, dog, you're not my target market. Like it's like, it's like advertising something
trying
to the
broad.
You're not my target market here. I'm trying to tell you the truth and it's not, you already believe this. Why? I'm not targeting you. Like I was on Tim Pool and I was like 45 minutes discussed about God and judgment. And everyone's like everyone that wrote me that was mad about how I spoke about things were people that were Christians mad that I didn't say how they wanted it. And the people that wrote me like, dude, I'm not even a Christian. This was very interesting. Like how you worded this. Could you tell me more about this? Were people who didn't believe or were atheists. Shows you kind of how weird things have gotten. The Church of Satan being the same thing. It's like, so you want to get your word out, but you won't come with an invite. It's very satanic.
They don't even need to because they have usurped all relevant institutional power. They don't even need to come on a show and pitch Satanism. Like the culture is satanic.
Dr. Fauci is a devil guy.
Yeah, they're literally possessed by demons.
I mean, Dr. Fauci is like probably a demon.
Probably.
They are. Yeah. And people, even Christians don't understand that demonic possession is real. It is a real thing. There are evil forces in the world. And that is what all of these people have succumbed themselves to or succumbed to, I guess I should say.
Yeah, I know. And I try to keep the show pretty, well, this has not been a lighthearted episode.
It's because it took us four times. Now we're all angry. We're all frustrated.
We all need a communion cracker after this.
Yeah, no, but I think it's interesting though. Cause like, but I think this is, I want to get under your skin here in a second. I want to talk to you about the Pope. because you're Catholic, I'm not Catholic, and I have no allegiance to the Pope. And people might say that that's great apostasy, and that's fine. The reason why I talk about things tactfully is because I'm actually very familiar with Catholic beliefs. I'm very familiar with Orthodox beliefs, with Mormon beliefs, Jehovah Witness, etc., cults, offshoots, different branches. I've spent a lot of times. I went to seminary. Doesn't mean I'm an expert. I just know enough to know, and I try to speak about things holistically, knowing that my audience is a lot of different types of people with different perspectives. But ultimately, I want to get into that. But before we go any further, I got to let you know that, guys, you've heard me talk about it before. You know what it is. Let's talk about joining the Safety Net Club. Now, obviously, life is insane. You never know what's going to happen. Most of you guys out there, if you have health insurance, 50% of you have horrible deductibles. And if you don't have health insurance, well, that sucks because things are very expensive if you get into an accident. Now, if you join the Safety Net Club at safetynet.club, what happens is you join a community where you get access to all types of products where you can build your own safety net that allows you to have the services that protect you. Now, what do I mean by that? For instance, even though I have good insurance myself, Blaze provides me with great insurance. I find myself like if I got into an accident, if I go to the emergency room, my insurance still doesn't cover that bill. It only covers like 60% of it. I could leave with $10,000, $20,000 in bills overnight, and I'm not going to be able to afford that. I work in a broom closet. So when it comes down to it, it's like for just about $15 a month, I can get something called accident insurance, which gives me the ability to cover the gaps in my insurance, or if I had none, to pay those bills from the emergency room. And that's one of many different products they offer. But also, if you join today, you get $10,000 AD&D insurance policy at no cost to you, which means that it's kind of like a life insurance and accident insurance policy that you automatically get for joining the community at safetynet.club. If you die, you get $10,000 sent to your beneficiaries. They can use it for bills, your funeral, etc. Or if you lose a limb or something, you also can get like an immediate disability payout of $10,000 while you're waiting for your own disability. It doesn't interfere, which is kind of just cool. That's what I'm saying about building your safety net rather than looking at it like just insurance. This is building the products you want than some weird big policy. You kind of pick the pieces and you protect yourself for what you need. Anyway, go to safetynet.club. That's safetynet.club right now and join the community to get $10,000 AD&D insurance and pick the products that are right for you as well. So we have this video here, the Pope. Pope. This a lot of people respect the Pope deeply. There's a lot of arguments currently in the Vatican. I believe isn't he a Jesuit?
Is he not?
I've heard that.
I think he might be from the Jesuit. He's a very very social justice type of Pope. A lot of like this is why you know Protestants would be like, yeah, the Pope's demonic and stuff. It's like, okay, well, on one hand, first of all, a lot of Catholics don't like the current Pope. That's a truthful statement. Would you agree? Because
yes.
A lot of Catholics would say that's wrong to question the Pope because it's the Lord's authority. So there's different.
Like the fake Pope or the wrong Pope, the false Pope, I've heard.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like I understand that there's arguments here. This isn't a Pope bashing moment. This isn't a religious podcast. But I will say this. The Pope came out and made a strong stance on vaccines. Let's go and let's play video 6, Savannah.
It
says many arguments have led to the division, even in the College of Cardinals. There are some vaccine deniers, and one of them, the poor guy, is hospitalized with the virus, but the ironies of life. So many arguments have led to the division, even in the College of Cardinals, basically saying, like, even in the church. I think what's kind of interesting here is bringing into that is what do you think as a Catholic of the church taking an official stance on vaccines, some of which were actually developed from aborted fetal lines?
Yeah, I'm not going to defend it. I don't like it at all.
Okay.
That's yeah.
It is pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. It's almost like, wow, the government is trying to come up against and fight people submitting these religious exemptions. And now you have the Pope being kind of pro-vax.
I think the current Pope is satanic.
It's pretty
icky.
I do.
And that's why I know a lot of Catholics are going to hate me for that. But I don't even, I believe that he's not authentic. And I see him being influenced by the global order. And I don't think this is the crazy thing is there's actually, I know so many amazing Catholic people. And there's, when he says there's debate in the College of Cardinals over vaccine deniers, that's such a New World Order type of way to describe it. Like, I'm sure there's a mix of cardinals who, number one, believe in bodily autonomy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's some, just like contraceptives, may not just believe in vaccines or certain things in general because of the way that they were developed, thinking it was an immoral thing. Or maybe they know some things that we don't know. I think that the papacy and I think that the Vatican have a lot of secret knowledge. They have access to a lot of knowledge in the world, and they may be well educated and see global plans and structures and may be resistant to that. I'm sure that there's a lot of corrupt individuals in the Vatican because it is a organization of men, not just mean of men themselves, but of human beings, and where humans are, corruption will follow, even in the places of God, that the you know, the church, anywhere, because we are corrupt people and that we are fallen and people do make mistakes and the devil does try to get in. But I think that the Pope coming in and sort of even like talking on the cardinals, like, well, ironies of life, shouldn't have denied the vaccine. It doesn't even sound like a man of God.
No, it's
it just
very
sounds like
smug and off.
It sounds like like a New World Order type of narrative that you would hear from like Berzeklian or something, or Dan Andrews in Australia, or Trudeau. This doesn't sound like somebody who cares about the people of God, or like, hey, but pray for these people because their hearts, you know, that their hearts would be softened to see and hear God's voice on this. It's like, this is what we're being pushed to, that I think even the Catholic Church from leadership from the top down has been hijacked by these deep state globalists. And maybe I'm wrong and I'm going to piss people off, but I think so.
Yeah. Why would he not also acknowledge the use of aborted fetal tissues like in this statement?
Satanic-y. I don't know if he's satanic for sure, but it doesn't sound like he's being influenced by the spirit of God by saying that. That doesn't sound like a statement from the spirit of God.
You said satanic-y. Satanic is already an adjective.
I know, but satanic-y is just like a dumb word we used to say back in like L.A. I told you.
It's kind of satanic.
You had to do the autistic thing. Fleckas and I, we just talked about this. He said he had, what is it, backwards?
Backwards, yeah. Instead of backwards.
Dude, we got satanic. We went to an abortion protest, and the people were like violent, like hissing and stuff. And I just, like, it was like, I was like, Fleckas, this is satanic. What do you think about it? He's like, it's satanic. It's loud. It's car horny. It's satanic-y. And it's just been like a joke about it. It's just like when you're kind of like, eh.
We love Fleckas.
We do. We love a lot of Fleckas here. Anyway, let us know your thoughts about that. If we've pissed you off, we can call this episode like trying to piss you off for 60 minutes straight. Because if we didn't say anything to piss you off, I want this show to realize too, because this is not a live show. We might make the show live. We can't with the equipment we have. Trust me, the broom closet is only half of it, Savannah. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a really well-lit broom closet.
Savannah's tired today anyways.
A little bit.
No one's having fun except you today.
I'm having fun.
Actually, except Chrissy.
Chrissy's having a great time.
I got my hair done.
You look looking good.
Having fun as soon as we started talking about brown people, as per usual on this show. I'm kidding. Great
show,
guys.
She's not kidding.
You're one of the good ones.
Thanks. Oh, I'm one of the ones that wouldn't get eradicated. Shout out to me.
My grandmother would come home from church every once in a while and be like, you know, Chrissy, I met this new man at church. He's black, but nice. And it's one of the funniest things
usually
he ever
Elijah,
said.
You know, and John Doyle, you know, behind the scenes, we usually talk about like, if people started getting deported, I would be one of the ones that would be deported last. I'm kidding. Okay.
Savannah's so sour, even though like seriously, the amount of tension that's in the room right now
between John and
Savannah.
Sexual.
Here's the thing, though, but actually the truthful statement is I wish, Savannah, that you would get a little more vocal on the show. Like I wish you would rapid fire a little more on terms of your...
Well, that's
your,
why you have to tune into the rapid fire podcast.
I don't
want to
cut off the
men
in this show.
She knows her place. Why are you fighting
the last
this?
Time I tried to jump in over John, he rolled his eyes so hard.
He does do that.
He does that a lot when women speak and it just pisses me off more. And I'd be like, John, shut the fuck up. But I can't do that on this show, which is why I don't speak.
I'm right across from my
I don't feel good today, guys. So that's why I'm not speaking, because it would just
There's so much just tension between everyone in this room right now. I got to tell you guys something. If you make it this far on the podcast, make sure that you not only subscribe, don't forget about the show that's going on with Chrissy this weekend, tonight and Saturday. If you're watching the Saturday of the weekend in the DFW area, there's a link in the description where you can find tickets. But also too, don't forget to follow John and leave a 5-star review. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything, and it helps us out so much. We actually are now number 44 out of 100 on audio podcasts for news commentary, which is really good in top charts. So we're really grateful. We're really growing a lot on the audio. We're exceeding expectations, so please become a blind viewer. Let's listen to these reviews. We have a review from a good, honest country girl. It says, a breath of fresh air, found the show when I first went to college and have loved it ever since. It just keeps getting better and better. Elijah and Savannah are always putting their best foot forward. Love the various guests. Sydney Watson and John Doyle are awesome. Used to be a John simp.
Ooh.
But then I figured out that he was a city slicker.
Not true. I'm a white boy from the suburbs.
Finish the review.
So knew that it wouldn't work out, as he probably can't swing an axe or catch a chicken, let alone milk cows, pull calves, and butcher hogs. Anyway, love the show and highly recommend Praying for You from Minnesota. Ooh, that's also
rough.
Do you
ever get when girls, they'll DM you and they'll just be like, I used to be a simp for you, but then I found out this thing about you, so it would never work out. It's like, I don't even know who you are.
Yeah. Unfortunately, sadly, I don't have a lot of simps. Somebody did write me a nice comment and said that the reason why I don't have more simps, which helped me cope with this, it was a cope, but it was nice, was like, oh, because like we're all conservative and we know that you're married, and so we're not being rude.
Aww,
and like we're not
respectful.
We're not disrespecting Kez, and we know Kez from the show and we like her, so we don't want to disrespect her. But that goes against everything I know about women.
Yeah, I'm gonna just start wearing a wedding ring. That's what I'll do. I'll just wear a wedding ring.
Women are generally more respectful of someone's relationship than men are.
I like it better, though, when people try to compliment Elijah by insulting him. It's kind of funnier.
Yeah, everyone's like,
hey, you don't look so fat anymore. And Elijah's like,
Elijah, you look like the type of guy that would bring a white noise machine to a camping trip.
Yeah, can I read you this? This
That was an actual review that we read the other day.
Yeah, look, I actually put this one up last night. Someone's like, Elijah, you are low-key fat. Seen you out of breath walking and interviewing someone at a rally. Don't stand on the glass ceiling, you fat.
Wow. You're not fat at
so
all.
So you do have simps. You lied to us.
Yeah. So anyway, I feel like my simps are like BDSM abusive, but I also like it.
But you like it.
I do like it. I don't kink shame on the show. And I've never experimented in that stuff. I don't think I've like gotten depraved. I could have gotten depraved enough. I got out of the city before it had happened. Actually, I met my wife and she kind of saved me. I used to think frosted tips were cool. Anyway, no, but I mean, I never got into that stuff. Maybe I would have liked it because I do like it when people are mean to me. It's kind of fun. I don't know if you like that too, but when people are kind
of
like
it. Yeah, it reminds me of my dad.
You have daddy issues on the low key.
Okay, last review is from Boobies. Boobies. Top 10. Love slightly offensive. I have to say, I am a simp for Sav. That's true. She's a beauty. I listen to every episode. I love that you're not scared to tell the truth, no matter how crazy the situations are. Definitely top 10 podcast hosts of all time. Keep up the great work. And it is interesting that every review we read always has a positive note about Savannah. Did you notice
so
that, John?
It's weird how that happened.
Who's in charge of aggregating those reviews?
I don't know who picks the reviews.
Hey, I don't know. People write them and I pick them, okay?
It's anyway. Random.
I was going to pick John Simp reviews, but I get in trouble when I do that, so.
It's true. Actually,
there's so many. I mean, it's hard to
every review is basically nice about everyone except for me.
Oh, that's so true, John Doyle.
And we have like 4,000 of them. As of now, 4,000 reviews. And we just started getting these reviews like a year ago. And we got 4,000 in a year.
Nice.
And they're not very
and
nice
it's
to me.
It's just essentially a roast of Elijah. We could do a whole show reading the reviews.
We should do a roast of Elijah. We should all get Elijah. Dressed up and do a roast of Elijah
Can
Schaefer.
Can we roast
yes.
Elijah? That would be
for
so
episode 200.
When's your birthday?
This video,
oh, hell yeah.
If this video gets 10,000 likes, we'll do a roast of Elijah Schaefer for his birthday.
We'll yeah. do it. We'll do it for 10 likes, actually.
What about for episode 200 roasts. Coming up, the roast of Elijah
oh
Schaefer?
Oh my gosh, that would be so well, let's, good.
And we'll write jokes. Fleckers we'll do it downstairs yeah. in like an actual set. We'll invite everybody. We'll write actual jokes.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Who's going to be on the dais?
Wait, Chrissy, you got to come back for this one, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because
pre-written jokes will be good.
Oh.
Anyway, guys, make sure that you, if you support the show long term, become a slightly offensive backer and SOB. Join at blazetv.com/Elijah to become a backer of the show and to support us as well. It's really good, Savannah. Last time I said join so eventually Savannah can get a raise, and everyone was like, give her a raise now.
Yeah.
That's not
yeah.
how that works.
Please,
we have
Blaze TV. You know, someone was like, I subscribe to Blaze through Crowder, but I want to unsubscribe and resubscribe with your code. How do I do that? And I was like, use promo code Elijah, I guess.
Yeah, use promo code Elijah and check it out. Anyway, make sure that you subscribe to the new show. You are here. Also check out Savannah's YouTube, Sav Says. Have a great rest of the week and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.